Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and I'll just draw your attention firstly to the map to give us a little bit of sense of where we are. Corinth is here, that's the Gulf of Corinth, reaching out into the Adriatic, and of course over to Italy. And it's a very thin isthmus here, if you'd remember, it's a few kilometres only. And so Corinth's importance geographically, to remind you of this, is because a lot of the shipping that wanted to go here to what they call Asia, it's actually Western Turkey now, the province of Asia, a lot of the shipping, rather than risk the pirates and the obviously more open sea and the rocks and all of that here, rather than risk all that, they preferred to come through here, and there was a haulage system. Nero actually started about this time to try and dig a canal through, but it didn't eventuate. The canal was not built there, I think, till the 1850s or 60s or something. It's there now. But they used to haul them across some process, mid-sized ships. So they'd haul them over here to another port and then the rest of it. Well, Paul, since we're dealing with Corinth, arrived in Corinth, we think, the best date to suggest is before the winter. See, why they can measure the dates a bit is because you can't travel in winter. The shipping is just closed from whatever dates, late October through to May or something. There's no shipping. It's just not possible. So we know that he would have had to get there before the winter set in. So let's assume he got there in the year 50, autumn, towards the end of the year, and he was there all through 51, and in the spring of 52, having been there for 18 months, Paul left Corinth by boat, came briefly to Ephesus, this is all repetition, with Aquila and Prisca, that married couple that he met here in Corinth, who worked also with tents and that kind of thing, and then he did his journey right back here to Jerusalem. It's 3,000 kilometres, half by land, half by sea. It took about a year. Then up to Antioch, and then overland and came back to Ephesus, arriving there, say, late autumn, 52, something like that. It's from Ephesus that he wrote his first, so-called, first letter to Corinth. And the map helps you see that they're quite within range of each other. There's a lot of interaction going on between these two important ports. Well, the first letter to the Corinthians, but it wasn't actually his first, because if you remember in chapter 5, I think it is verse 9, he says, in my earlier letter, we just haven't got the letter, but he says in my earlier letter. So he'd written to them perhaps a few times. And he was in Ephesus now from 52 to 55, 3 years. Then he left Ephesus, headed north, we know this from his letter, arrived in Troas. We don't know whether he went by land or boat, Troas. Then he goes across here to Macedonia to visit these cities that he loved so much that he first visited back in 49-50 AD. He seems to have spent the winter here in Macedonia. The next year, 56, he spent missioning in Western Macedonia and up into Illyricum. This is Apollonia, Dyrrachium there at the end of the Via Egnatia, and there's a short crossing here to Brindisi, and then the Via Appia to Italy. So he spent the time there, and late in 56, again autumn, came back to Corinth. So there's a fair few connections between Ephesus and Corinth. Our letter, the second letter to the Corinthians, is quite clearly written after he's left Ephesus, and he's come to Macedonia. He's received news from a chap called Titus, who's been down in Corinth, who came up to meet him and met him there, and he writes this second letter, so-called second letter. In that second letter, he also talks about another letter that he wrote with a lot of anguish and sorrow. We've lost that too. So there's been a bit of correspondence going on. We haven't got it all. So he wrote the bulk of 2 Corinthians here from Macedonia down to Corinth, probably hurried Titus back in late 56 to beat the winter, because he was very anxious about something that we're going to read about, sent it back to Corinth, as I said, spent the next after the winter, spring rather, he goes to this travel, and later on, this is my judgment of it, sends what we now call 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, 12 and 13. It's a later document, but it's added on to the end of 2 Corinthians. Okay, that's the best setting I can give you for our letter. And there's a lot of discussion in it about, we're going to do it this morning, about, obviously, he'd gone to Corinth, as I told you, from Ephesus, he'd written a couple of letters. Something really was going wrong in Corinth, and we'll try and work that out. He actually made a quick trip across, an unexpected one, but a quick one, and it was very painful, and the community was very divided. I think probably there was a group accusing him of handling the finance badly. I think that's the most likely problem. The Corinthian community, then he promised them he'd come back. We'll read that this morning. He'd come back from Ephesus on his way to Macedonia and then come back again. But he didn't do that. Instead, he wrote a letter to them because he judged it wasn't good to go back. You know, he's got to work out what's the best thing to do, the way we all do. So he didn't go back to Corinth. On the other hand, as I told you, went to Troas. And when he writes back, he explains why he had to change his plan, because they're accusing him, changing his plan. You never know what he's going to do. He doesn't really care about us. You can't trust him, all this stuff. From a little tight little group that's come into Corinth, some of them possibly from Jerusalem, you know, the same kind of people that keep tracking down Paul all the time because he's not Jewish enough and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of difficulties going on, and Paul's suffering immensely, but he's got a great love for this community, and we're going to read now what he has to say to them. So we begin. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, including all the saints throughout Achaia. It's almost the same greeting that you find in the first letter, but except for that little bit. It's now wider. The church has obviously grown, you see. The first letter is written to the church in Corinth. By now, Corinth has spread out. Achaia is the Peloponnesus and the southern part of what we call Greece, just above the Gulf of Corinth. So clearly, the church is spreading. So he doesn't only greet the church in Corinth, but the local churches that have grown out from that community. You know this, but I might remind you, Paul, he always calls himself by his Roman name, whether it's his original family name, which is quite likely, or a name that he himself adopted when he was in Cyprus and met Paul, Sergius Paulus, who possibly might have been his, gave him his name and welcomed him into the Gentile community in some way. That's possible. He may have adopted the name. You remember, I hope, that when Paul introduces himself, the way he introduces himself is always a key to the mood, the purpose of the letter. He calls himself an apostle of Christ Jesus. Some say there's no difference between Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. I think they're wrong. When Paul talks about Jesus Christ, he's talking about Jesus the Messiah. And that's what Christ means. When he talks about Christ Jesus, the focus is on the risen Christ. Who is Jesus? I mean, it's the same person, but I think there is a different approach to the person. Rather than starting with the Jesus, the man Jesus, who is the Messiah, he's starting from the risen Christ, the one that he met, who is, of course, Jesus. And he's an apostle, so he's got a mission, and he wants them to listen. He's speaking with authority now. He's not writing just for himself. He's been sent by someone, Christ, by the will of God. So it's calling on divine authority, really. And he's writing not as an individual, but as a member of a Christian community. We're not individuals as Christians. He writes also from Timothy, our brother, whom they know well, to the church, I've said that. Grace to you and peace. There might be, if I could think of it, a letter where that doesn't occur, but I don't think so. They're the two words that Paul always begins with. Grace, charis, is very like the ordinary Greek greeting, kairein, which means joy or happiness or something like that. Greetings, kairein. Charis, almost the same sound, goes beyond just hello to charis is always God's grace. So it's got a perception of grace coming from God to the community. And peace is the famous shalom. So peace is a Jewish term. He's greeting the Gentiles in their way, now christened, and he's greeting the Jews in the community their way, also christened, shalom. And shalom, if you remember, is not just lack of war. Peace in the Roman sense, a pact, a stopping of violence. But peace is harmony. It's everything in order, everything connected. Lambs frolicking in the, you know, the rain, the children, life, happiness, at every level of being, because it's all encompassed in grace. Peace on Israel in the Psalms means everything burgeoning with life, because it's connected with God. So he offers them the same greeting here, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One small comment only, it's a bit esoteric, but it might be significant. The word from in Greek here is apo in the English lettering, apo, but it is a fact that he says apo, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are both, I can't think of the word, qualified by the one preposition. So it doesn't say from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, which is what you'd say normally. It's from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, he thinks of the two together. He thinks of the two in communion. Well, obviously, it's Father, Son, to use our human terms for this.